Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to be studying the Word of God with you, brothers and sisters in Christ. And let's open our King James Bibles up to, we'll start in 1 Timothy chapter 6, kind of a little bit of a departure from what we've been studying, but it's an offshoot. It's mentioned that the new versions use the word slave. The King James Bible uses the word servant in all those places, except for two places, and one was in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5, and the other one, I believe, is in Revelation 18. Can't remember what verse, but the word slave is used one time in the King James Bible, and slaves, plural, is used one time in the King James Bible. And this morning, I want to talk about servants and masters and what the Bible says about these things. Pastor and I were having a good discussion about it. The Bible tells a servant what attitude he should have. Now, there are times that the word servant actually means slave in the Bible. In the King James Bible, every word of God is pure. And it tells a slave, a person who is a bond servant, we're going to look at that, to how to behave, how to look at his servitude. So let's pray and ask God for wisdom this morning. And as we study these things out, Father, bless thy holy word. Help us to have the right attitude, the right spirit, God, about what you said in your word. We may not like things, Lord, when it comes to some of the curses in history placed upon man and women and mankind and different races, Lord, as we study the scriptures. And Lord, but you said something was going to happen, Lord, and you proved it to be the case. And Lord, we should just accept what your word says and understand that Lord, there are things that happen in history and in man's lives today, Lord, as a result of these things that were said thousands of years ago. And so I pray this morning you give us light and understanding and help us to have a right spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Bible talks about masters. Let's look there in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this is beginning with, not all servants are mentioned in this verse. It says, let as many servants... And then it qualifies what kind. So there are some servants that we're going to see are bond servants and some are free. You say, how can a servant be free? Well, he's a hired servant. So you who have jobs, you're a servant. You are paid a wage. You go in and you labor for that person. Amen? And you serve in that capacity. If you say I'm self-employed... You still serve somebody when they pay you whatever wage you go and make. So we all should have a right attitude as a servant. A slave is a little different. There were times where a person would be had to be sold and be willing to be sold. There were times when the Jews, I forget what group they were, they came up to them in old rags and old bottles. Remember that? Which group was that? Does anybody remember the Gideonites or... Gibeonites, and they said, okay, you're going to be hewers of wood and carriers of water forever. You're going to become slaves. They became their servants. They became bond servants. And a bond servant was somebody in bound. When you say the bonds of what? What is the next word you think of usually? Bonds of who's married here? Come on, spit it out. Bonds of matrimony. Anybody heard that term before? Bonds of, see, people don't believe in that anymore. I'll get a divorce. Bonds is something you're bound together. Okay? Bonds and yoke in the Bible were almost interchangeable. The Bible says, being unequally what? Yoked. A yoke is something that you connect two together. They're bound together. Paul was a bond servant, but he said, I was in bonds. Paul often spoke about how he was in bonds. He was literally in chains, in prison. And a yoke is something that connects you. It's not always a slavery situation or a servitude situation, but anytime you're in a yoke, it's servitude. You're putting your neck underneath a yoke, like an oxen. And so bonds, we're going to see in the Bible, are somebody who's bound to it. And so here he says, let as many servants are as under the yoke. Well, these are servants that are not free. So in this case, this is a slave and a master relationship. What does he say? Fight against that, rebel against that. He says, no. He says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Paul even told slaves, and there were many slaves back in those days, not to fight, not to run off, not to hate your master, but to give him honor. He said, well, that's hard. See, what's going on today is here are people who talk about, like, we were slaves. No, you weren't. There's nobody living today in America that was a slave. And plenty of people, your forefathers may have been slaves. The Jewish people in America, how many of them were? There's a history of mankind. There's been plenty of people enslaved. Whether it was a feudal system where you had lords and you had people who were the peasants, they were enslaved on a what you call a fiefdom. Those people had to labor on that land. They had nowhere to go. And there were peasant wars in European times. During Martin Luther's times, the peasant wars in the 1400s. But most of our forefathers were probably peasant servants who lived on a fiefdom, who lived on in the feudal system. You had kings and monarchs and princes and lords, and then you had these masters and bosses, straw bosses and such. It's not anything unusual in humanity and mankind, for there have been times. The Jewish people for 430 years were slaves in Egypt. They were bond servants. God had to redeem them with a mighty hand and deliver them. There were plenty of, you look at the czars and the people who, under the czars' control. So we thank God, you don't know anything about that. You know, we have been free for hundreds of years in America, our children and our forefathers. We have enjoyed freedom, amen? So we have not seen those kind of things that go on even in today's days. There are people in slavery in the world. But what does the Bible say about it? It is an evil. I don't think it was an, God loves it. I don't think God, but it is part of man's history because of sin. Amen. But it is, what do you do if you're a slave? He says, let as many servants as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. That's part of doctrine. The Christians today have a time with that. People today, they don't believe the Bible. They say, well, I don't like that. I don't think God's right. There's a lot of things that happen to man because of sin. For instance, a woman says, I'm not going to submit to a man. Who is he? He's not my head. Well, you're in rebellion against God. The part of the fall was that your desire shall be to your husband. And in childbearing, you know, you're going to have to serve with this pain, with labor. And so that's part of the curse. Man has to work with the sweat of his face, part of the curse. You know what they try to do? They air condition everything. Try not to sweat. And it's, you know what happens? Everybody's sick. You can't beat it. You know what? You got so many toxins in you because people don't want to sweat today. You say, I'm not going to sweat. Sweat's good. Amen? Can I get a hearty amen to that? Yeah. Nobody wants to sweat though. And so people got to take all kinds of pills and go see doctors. God says that you're going to labor and there's going to be thorns and thistles and briars. Man doesn't have to like that. They try to beautify everything and get rid of all the weeds. And try to manicure every yard and manicure everything as though we've eradicated weeds. No, give it a year. They'll be back. You're not getting rid of those thistles. You're not going to get rid of God's ways. What I'm saying is when God says things in the Bible and you study Genesis, there are laws that God put on man from the earliest chapters of the Bible. And those laws cannot be defied. One of them is God chose a nation, Abraham, chapter 12. God said, I'm going to bless you and your seed. That is a mooring in man's history. When you curse the Jew, you'll be cursed. America's blessed today because we've been a safe haven for the Jewish people. When we cease to do that, that'll change our history immensely. You ought to bless the Jew, amen? Now, when you look at the three sons of Noah, there's Ham, there's Japheth, and there's Shem. And let's go back there and look at that. So there's some things that God said in the earliest of times. Look in Genesis chapter 10. And, let's go back to 9. 10 is where it breaks down all the different tribes. And here's something very interesting that happens in this chapter. God, says some things through Noah. Noah is the king of the earth. Basically, there's only him and his three sons and their four wives. There's eight people on the earth at this point. And very much like Adam, God said, replenish the earth. Very much like Adam. Adam had three sons altogether. Cain, Abel, and what was the other one? Seth. Here, he had three sons. He's similar that we know of. He had many more, perhaps. I don't know. But there's a likeness of what God put into Adam's hand, he also put into Noah's hand. And one of those sons was cursed. His name, Adam's sons, was Cain. He was a murderer. One of the sons of Noah was also cursed. And here, but first of all, three sons were blessed in chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. It's the same commandment that God gave to Adam in chapter 1 of Genesis. So Noah's been given power over the earth. He's kind of king of the earth right at this point. He has a crown on his head. But you know what he does? He does the same thing that Noah does. Noah does the same thing that Adam does. What does he do? He puts something in his mouth. It says he began to be an husbandman. Where's that at? Verse. Let's see. And verse 23, and Shem and Ham and Japheth. Okay, let's go back a little earlier. And 18, and the sons of Noah that went forth out of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. There's a reason he doesn't say, and Japheth's the father of so-and-so, or Shem's the... Every word of God is pure. There's a reason why God put that little note in there. If you'll notice there in chapter 9, verse 1, he says he already blessed Ham. He blessed Ham. Now, it's Ham who's going to do something wrong here. Once God blessed, he can't curse him. You follow that line of thought? So he's already setting it up and saying, hey, I want you to denote that he's the father of Canaan. And Canaan's not in the narrative. Canaan's not going to do something to his father Noah. In fact, Canaan's not even born yet. So why is he saying before he's even born, cursed be Canaan by the end of this chapter? A guy who's not even born. Because he can't curse Ham for what he did. So he's going to say, I'm going to put it on your sons, and he's the firstborn, and he's going to represent you. And what does he do? And these are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. So there are three groups of types of people in the earth today. There really breaks down to these, you are from one of these three seeds of Noah. You're either from Ham, or from Shem, or from Japheth. Japheth tends to be, and we are, the Caucasian people who came up through the Caucasus Mountains, north of East Turkey, up through the what you call Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and up into Russia. And those are the sons of Japheth, are Tubal, Meshach, Gomer. Gomer turns into be Germany. Tubal is over in Russia, Gog and Magog. And so... Those are our forefathers for the most part. European stock, Caucasian. You'll see that on an application in Caucasian. And those are where you have the Caucasus Mountains. That's where that word Caucasian comes from. And that's South Russia, down towards Chechnya. You ever heard of Chechnya? Anybody heard of that? And those mountains are a funnel, and they went up into the European races. Russia being part of Europe, European. Shem tends to be Eastern peoples from India, China, even into the Eskimos and into the American Indians. They have their descent from Shemitic. And you're going to see that when God spoke to these three groups through these sons, he says, blessed be Shem. He said, I'm going to bless one above the others. There's one seed that carries on to Abraham. That was Shem. Abraham came from Shem. And you find this lineage there where God says this is the seed goes through there, and Christ came through Shem. So salvation for all mankind came through Shem. So he says, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. He says he has the true God. Did you ever notice that the spiritual people, or those that tend to be spiritual, are Shem? Every religion of the world came through Shem. If you think about it, Buddhism, Shintoism, even Mohammedism and Christianity came from what? The Jewish people. Paul the Apostle was a Jew, Shem, the seed of Shem. So there's something about them and their connection with God and spiritual matters, even if it be false gods. And false religions of the earth generally tend to come from the Shemitic people. And so they're more of spiritual. Japheth is what? Japheth shall enlarge himself, if you study this. And Japheth shall dwell in the tents of Shem. What does Japheth like to do? Enlarge. What? Get more. Who's the first to the moon? Russia or America? Who's going to get to the North Pole, South Pole? You know, we're always seeking to outdo the other Japhethites. Europe, Russia, America. The European race is the Japheth. Greed tends to be our lust of the eyes. lust of the eyes, more and more and more, covetousness. Japheth enlargeth himself, and he dwells in the tents of Shem. He'll utilize the Jewish tent, the Shemitic tents, and further themselves based on the blessings of Shem. Hey, we Gentiles have prospered under the Jews. And if it weren't for Einsteins, and God has blessed America, we've seen a lot of things. There's a lot of you say, oh, what about all the bad? Yeah, you can go into that if you want to get cursed. You can find there's all kinds of things you can find against the Jews today. And the devil will use that, and the Antichrist will use that in the tribulation. I'd rather not go that way, amen? There's plenty of things you can find, dredge up evil amongst unsaved Jews who are working through Hollywood and Wall Street and other places in the world today through liberalism. There's a lot of them. A lot of them like Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. I could throw some, I mean, not Nancy, Schiff. All right? Some of you are like, oh, already hairs are standing up on the back of your neck when you mention Schumer and Schiff. Those are Jews. There's some Jews in our politics. But at the same point, we have prospered as Gentiles through the Jews, amen, through the blessings of Israel. So when you read these blessings and cursings, what do we get into here? That there's one that God says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. He did something wrong here. To what extent? You can go into all kinds of theories, but whatever he did, God curses him. He can't curse him, though, because he already blessed him in verse 1. And so when the Lord blesses, he doesn't curse. And so it says, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. There was honor there, but he dishonored his father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine. See, he put the fruit in his mouth. And like I was saying, Adam and Eve, I believe it wasn't an apple. I believe it was a grape. I think that I think that there's something to that tree. There's always been a problem with the grape, mankind. And it grows like a serpent, like a vine. And there's something about the grape. And it's called a grape tree. The tree is called the grape tree in the Bible. So that's an interesting fact. It's not called a vine, it's called a tree. And there's a tree involved. And here's Noah getting drunk. And what does he do? His fall, again, brings in evil, brings in problems. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. So he couldn't curse Ham, but he curses his son. And he says, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. That was said over 4,000 years ago, probably 4,000 years ago. And the Hamitic people have since then always been in some form or other of servitude. And you say, well, that's very racist. No, it's just, yeah, it is. There are certain races that God says something, things are going to happen to them. And you, whether you like it or not, amen? God said, I'm going to bless Abraham, I'm going to bless his seed, and they're a special people. They're the apple of my eye. They're above all the other nations on the earth. If you want to say that's racism, then it is. Because God says there's a people on the earth that are better than every other people on the earth. And they're the Jews. And you Gentiles don't have to like that or get along with it or accept it. It doesn't mean a thing. Amen. That's the way it is. God says, I prefer Abraham and his seed. Now here we're looking at Ham. We're looking at Canaan. And God declared something. And today you say, well, that was written by people that are, hey, this is God's word. And there are things that he declared about Abraham. There's things he declared about certain seeds, the Amalekites, the Moabites. And he said, these things are going to happen to you because of sin. And Canaan, you think about Cain. He was cursed, sent out eastward of Eden. God cursed the seed. And you say, where do these things? I don't know. I've looked at things like the gypsies. Why are they always a vagabond people? I mean, they're never going to get out of that. I believe somewhere along the line, way back when, there was somebody in the Bible where God says, your people, your seed's going to be vagabonds continually. When you read your Bible, do you believe it's a fairy tale or do you believe somebody was real and God said, I'm going to declare something against these people and this is what's going to happen? It's up to you. See, you can sit there and fight with it and go with the those who don't believe the Bible is inspired by God and those who think the Bible is just another religious book and just go with the flow of what's going on in America today and the world when it comes to these issues. These issues are important. This is what's tearing up America. Black Lives Matter is based on the idea that there needs to be reparations. We need to burn down and loot buildings and get some kind of paybacks. Let the white privilege. That's nonsense. They're burning up businesses of black people out there. They're tearing down people's businesses that are just poor people that worked up from nothing. Whether they be Hispanic or black or they don't even know, Jewish or... They're just indiscriminately destroying and somehow saying, there you go, that they got what they had coming. Because I don't have any money, I don't have any possessions. I live in I'm living in off of welfare, or living in my mother's basement, and I'm out here. And you notice how young they are and foolish they are. Amen? I mean, look at who's destroying our, and who's promoting that. Democrats are utilizing ignorant young people today who just have a beef with everybody and everything. It's just they are angry with themselves, angry with their parents, angry with society, and they got Democrats who are manipulating that and utilizing that. That's the way the Bolsheviks came into power. That's how they destroyed 70 million people. Stalin killed over 10 million in 1 year in Ukraine by forced starvations. How do you get to there? You get to that by people who were unhappy with their lot in life and they don't know anything about God, and they don't, like Paul was teaching these servants here, he says, give unto your master's honor. Okay, don't go out and start burning everything down and don't start. And so when you look at these things, there are things that God said in history, whether you can reconcile with that or not is your problem. The Bible says it's going to happen. He said, Canaan shall be a servant of servants. Look at that. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. You don't have to like it that God blessed a certain group of people on the earth and they have a certain advantage, Shem. And out of that came the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of that came the Jewish people, Abraham. There was a man in that seed called Heber. That's where you get the word Hebrews. So Shem had seed and he had sons, and one of them was a man named H-E-B-E-R, Heber. And God blessed Heber, and he gave him a son. And eventually Abraham, and Abraham had his children. So let's look at some more verses here this morning on this thing about servants and differences between a hired servant. Look at Leviticus chapter 25. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Reparations is a funny thing. I mean, who's going to give to who and for what purpose? For instance, you live here, you're white, but your forefathers got here in 1908. Okay, they came from Hungary. Now, your forefathers had nothing to do with the American experiment. They had no land here. They had no servants. They had no slaves. They had no anything to do with it. Yet, because you're white and you're from Hungary, you need to pay the black people a certain amount of money. What is that? How does that even apply? Your forefathers might have been in slavery themselves in 1860. They might have been in some situation, who knows where, in another part of the world. There were a lot of people who lived in a lot of terrible conditions in that part at that time. Amen? So you're supposed to pay another group of people who were suffering 170 years ago. Okay? We're talking, how are you still suffering from that? You take the Jewish people, I look at them, they come out of a Holocaust within our lifetime. Some of you. And we're talking in 1946, they're 45, they're walking out of a concentration camp, and they get on a boat and they come to America, and in this next generation, their child's a lawyer working in a firm, and he's making, $200,000 a year. And he's not saying, somebody owes me, the Germans need to pay me back, and no, they went on with their life. You can keep looking backward, you can't do that. That's just causing... That's just drummed up by ideologists, people who are thinking of some kind of reason to help these people. Help yourself. It's a free country. Amen. There's plenty of black people that went out and were successful. And they hate the idea of reparations. They said, no, it's a free country. I worked hard. I went to school. I went to college. I made something out of my life. Amen. I mean, my forefathers are Hungarians and Scottish. A lot of them came here with potato famines and such, and came into the mills and the glass factories. A lot of these Hungarians and Slavics and peoples came here where they worked in coal mines. I can go back to one of my forefathers, a guy named Jack Kehoe. worked in the coal mines. They hung him to death. Ever heard of the Molly Maguires? Anybody heard of the Molly Maguires? Watch the movie. Sean Connery plays Jack Kehoe. That's my forefathers. They're hung by the neck in America. I've got some bad stock back there. No, what was he doing? He was blowing up mines because they weren't getting paid enough, and it was revolutionaries. And they finally caught him with the Pinkertons. They sent in some detectives, and they got inside the Molly Maguires, and they exposed them, and they hung like something like four or five guys. America has been hard for a lot of people. Those people, when they come, those Slavic people got off the boat, they sent them over there to the coal mines. That's like the old song. You move 15 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, for I can't go. I owe my soul to the what? Company store. But that ain't a joke. Those people lived on the grounds, and they got their food off that. They were enslaved. Coal miners in Pennsylvania, white, black, no matter who you were, they were all white. They were slaves to the Carnegies and the Fricks. Anybody ever heard of them? Moguls. Those are the guys like the, what was that estate there? The Vanderbilts. And the these are very wealthy monopolists that ran. Ford, if you ever study him, he had people that were basically his slaves. They lived on his land. He would come in and inspect. They couldn't drink. They couldn't smoke. They couldn't do anything they wanted. And it was a very restrictive life. Study it out, Ford, and how he built those plants. There's a lot of people that suffered injustices in America. What does Paul say? Give honor unto your masters. People don't like that. Modern today, everybody wants to be given free money. Everybody believes that we are born with a golden spoon in your mouth. My dad was a father of 8 kids, worked in a steel mill, was 19 years and 9 months, and got laid off 3 months. Those monopolists, they shut their mills down. Nobody got a pension. That's life. My dad, what did he do? Went back to community college, got a degree, got into restaurant management, went back to work. You don't hear him complain. You don't hear him belly aching. You don't hear him moaning about anything. Work hard. You know what you have now? You have a bunch of ideologists, kids that are out in the street, they ain't working. And they went to some college, Berkeley or Ohio State University, and they're putting out liberal Marxists out of our universities today, trying to tear down America. You know what they want to do? They want to burn the American flag. Why? They say, because this country is built by a bunch of slave owners. Washington, Jefferson, Adams. These men had plantations. They were racists. So we need to tear down Columbus's statue, Washington, Jefferson, anybody who had the foundations of this country. And you ought to be ashamed to be an American. That's what's going on in our country. We're at a crossroads, Christian. And you know what? Immigration is pouring in with people, and no one's converting them either. Churches are not doing the job. We need to evangelize these people coming into our country. Muslims, Catholics are pouring into this country. You say, boy, you sound so racist and so... Hey, that is the fact. This country was a blessing to many people who want to come flooding here. Why? Because of the foundations of this country. Why are they beating on the doors to come to this country if it's such a bad place? Amen? No place. Where else would you rather live? The idea of reparations. I think that's so funny. I have to bring this up because most of the black people in America today... their forefathers lived in the 1800s, and they go further back in the American history than many of you white people. There was an industrial expansion in America in the 1800s, early 1900s, the Industrial Revolution, and many people flooded to America during that time. Italians, first of all the Irish, the Germans, then later on the Italians. The Jews came at that time, many. And that was later on. But you look at the black, you say, these are uncomfortable issues. I don't care. People don't want to study history. And so we're going to see this country fall to complete collapse because people are afraid to touch on touchy issues and they walk on eggshells. Well, I don't. Amen. I try to look at things objectively in the whole, the biblical way. What is one of the things? The black people today aren't so much black as they are in Africa. You say, how do you know? I lived in Ukraine and those students come from Sierra Leone, from the Ivory Coast, they're very black. There's a different black. And they're a different manner of those people from Africa, too. Much more respectful. Much more cultured. But you take the average American black, they're very brown. And why is that? There's a lot of mixture with white people. And you say, what are you driving at? They want people to pay 170 years later, some of them, not all, but many of them, even Democratic leaders are talking about reparations today. Anybody hear this term? They're pushing this idea, and I think about it, and I say, there's probably more white plantation owner blood in many of these black people than there is in most of these white people that came off the boats in Ellis Island. So what I'm saying is, the black people need to pay a good portion of that reparation. Because their forefathers were white. You know, you get the point? How are you going to break down the DNA and say, who owes who what? Oh, you're white, so you owe him because he's black. That don't make any sense. Just because you're white doesn't mean you owe anybody. Your forefathers probably had nothing to do with it, and their forefathers had something to do with it. You get the point. It's like Pocahontas. You know, Elizabeth Warren. What'd she have? 1/1028th Indian in her? Most of you in here have more Indian blood in you than Elizabeth Warren does. But everywhere she'd go, she'd write, you know, minority, Indian, you know, descent. And she went into these colleges and got, aid from the government. Yeah, sure. Or got in as a special case. Elizabeth Warren. What I'm saying is the DNA is, you can't tell who you're from nowadays. Amen? You'd be surprised who your forefathers were and what DNA content you have. And so this is all politically driven today, to divide America. They want race wars. They want white against black, black against white. And they're using that today, politically. A Jew, let's look at here, Leviticus 25, verse 44. Let's get to a few verses here this morning. Let's go to like the 39 and read this whole text. And it says here that I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee. So a person could be sold, even a Jew. Can't pay their bills, they have nothing to pay. If you remember in Matthew 18, there was a servant his Lord required him to pay and he couldn't. He says, I'm going to be sold and my wife and my children will be sold. So right there you have somebody who's a servant who's in jeopardy of becoming a bond servant, which means he'll be sold into slavery. So there were times where a person could be sold to serve as a what? Bond servant. It tells you what a person being sold is called, a bond servant. Now, but so verse 39, it says, and if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as an hired servant. So he gets wages. When you're hired, you get wages. He could actually buy his freedom eventually. Or get to the point of what's called the Jubilee, where they would be set free after 7 years. And so, and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee and shall serve thee under the year of Jubilee. There you go. So he said after some time, he's going to be a free man again. And he can go back to his possessions and his inheritance. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and under the possession of his fathers and shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. So he said, you were bondmen in Egypt, and I redeemed you. So when you talk about the Lord redeeming us, you're bought with a price. That doesn't mean you're a bondservant, you're at liberty. You are a servant, but the Lord redeemed you from bondage. The Bible says, stand fast therefore with the liberty wherewith Christ hath set you free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage again. So he's saying, we're free. God redeemed us. And we're, in a sense, we're hired servants. You're a servant of the Lord. Amen. But you're not in bondage. You're not a slave now. You're bought with a price by redemption. Then thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shall fear thy God. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids. Now these are foreigners. He said you could have slaves. The Jew had slaves. They were called bondmaids and bondmen. What thou shalt have shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall ye buy bondmen and bondmaids. Notice the word buy. You could buy a person. God condoned it. You know, the abolitionist movement, yeah, I'm against slavery. I think that we all should be. But in the Old Testament, under the law, God condoned it. God said it was acceptable. He told them who could be a bondmaid and a bondman. Moreover, the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begat in your hand, and they shall be your what? Possession. That's what a bondman is, a bondmaid is. A person becomes a possession. That's your King James Bible. People have a time with that. They don't like it. Well, that's part of history, and that's what God said. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you. So they weren't set free after you die. This is just a possession of your inheritance. And for your children after you to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, ye shall not rule one over another with rigor. He said you're not supposed to buy another Jew. You're supposed to hire him. And at the year of Jubilee, they're set free and they go back to their freedom and they go back. So look in Matthew 18. We might as well look at some more verses on that. So a man who was a servant here in Matthew 18, he was afraid to become a bondman. Doesn't tell us whether it was a Jew or a Gentile in this situation. It was a king, Matthew 18, verse 23. And 18:23 tells you there's a difference between a bondman and a hired servant. But therefore the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. So not all servants are bondmen. Not all servants are slaves, as they put in the other versions. It's incorrect. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. Somebody could buy him as a possession now. He would become a bondman. And his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So that's how a person could become a slave in those times. He couldn't pay his debt, and he had to pay by himself, becoming a servant, a slave. Now, there's a difference. Look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. It tells you there's a difference between two different kinds of servants. When you read your Bible, you can go right over these things and just kind of miss what Paul's talking about because we don't live in those times. People ought to be thankful they live in America today, no matter what background you're from. We all live in freedom. You all have access to vote, to work. Amen? There's opportunities here in this country like never before. And what do people do? They moan and bellyache because they want a free handout. They've gotten so soft in America. People don't know what it means to work and labor and have rigor and to earn something of your own. Young people are already being, their minds are being manipulated to that degree. Everybody's looking for Uncle Sam to give you something. Don't look to the government to give you anything. Work hard. They're going to take from you. They're not going to give you anything. There's two things you have to do. Pay your taxes and die. I don't know if it's that the old, something like that old saying. You know, that's the only things you got to do in this lifetime. You're going to pay taxes. You'll have to like it. You know why? Because they got a gun to your head. When the guy comes up and puts a gun to your head, you give him the money. You don't have no alternatives. You're going to pay your taxes whether you want to or not, or they're going to come, and they're going to get it. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, who's he talking to? Look at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So there were two kinds of servants, a bond servant and a free servant. A free servant was a hired servant, indentured. It's an agreement. When you go to work, you sign a contract. You say, I will serve, and this is my job description. And I'm going to sign this contract, I'm going to do this job. If you don't do it, they fire you. All right? You're a free servant. So that's what you do when you go to work on Monday. You're serving. Amen? And it tells you how you ought to serve, not with eye service as men pleases, but as unto the Lord. You ought to do your job the best way you can do it. You ought to go in there and outwork everybody else for the Lord Jesus Christ, because you do it as unto the Lord. And Paul was telling them back then, some of you were bond servants, you're slaves. You still ought to serve your master, and honor your master because you're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was probably not easy being, and one man ran away. I can give you some interesting verses on that. If you were a servant, you could try to run away. And the Bible says in the Old Testament, if you found a man's servant ran away, you weren't to return him to his master. I can't show you the verse right now. I don't remember where I read it. But I thought that was peculiar. I mean, you could run away if you were a servant. It's hard. You got to make sure you take care of your slaves. Sometimes it was better living as a slave back then than it was being free and not having anywhere to live and nowhere to go. A lot of times the masters took good care of their servants. They had houses and they had place to eat. They had everything they needed there. What are we looking at? Free also receives a reward. Look at Colossians. As a bondservant, you didn't receive anything. You didn't get a reward. You didn't get paid. You didn't get an inheritance. Colossians 3:24. The likening is unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We get a reward someday if we serve Him. That's a blessing. Look at Colossians 3:24. Look at 22. It's the context of servants. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh. That's pretty, hey, do the job in the flesh. He said, go out and do that, you do it. You know, people cheat on the job. People, even Christians. Supposed to be doing your job, you're in the back room there, talking with somebody for an hour, drinking coffee. Hey, amen. I mean, I've been there. I'm not always been a pastor. I worked 11 years in a pharmaceutical company. I've worked for, duty free. I've had some great jobs. I go to duty free. We always get earrings for my wife, all that, cheap jewelry they sell on the airplane. You pay overpay for everything. It's all garbage. Costume jewelry, $70. Oh, okay, I got to have them. It's all crap, believe me. But I work for them. I work for Marvel Comics. Hey, that was a job where I got paid to read comic books for 8 hours a day. They said, okay, sit here at this phone. And I said, what do I do in the meantime? He said, I'll just read all these comic books. They had a whole room. I mean, every comic book you can. And I sat there and the phone never rang. I mean, I read everything there was, man. The black, this and the green hornet. And the... Get paid, man. That's good money, man. $17 an hour to read comic books. I didn't even get quizzed in the end. I just read the... That is the best job. I mean, you're talking about just go in this room and answer the phone. I'm telling you, I worked there for months. The phone never rang. I don't know what I was supposed to do. Okay. But what did I do? I worked hard. You want to work hard. And it says here how. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person. So that's in the context of a servant. In this situation, it's more of a hired servant. Because you're going to receive, he's likening it unto receiving a reward of the inheritance. A reward and inheritance. The Lord is gracious to you. He hired you on. You're a hired servant. You know what he's going to offer to you? He's offering you to inherit something. You can get there's a servant that willingly serves his Lord. Look at back in Exodus chapter 21. And when you think about that, there's a verse here I want to read in Isaiah, where Jesus Christ is called a servant. Isaiah, I'm going to read Isaiah 52:13. Go ahead back there to Exodus while I read Isaiah. And here in Isaiah 52, and verse 13, what do I got here? Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. That's about Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus Christ was? He was a servant. Jesus Christ became a bondservant. How's that? Look back here. Exodus 21. After the law, it's a picture of the New Testament even. Here you have the Ten Commandments in chapter 20. That's a famous chapter. You should always remember that. Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. What is that? Law of Moses. What's the first picture? It's interesting. What is the first thing after he talks about these Ten Commandments? What does he bring up? Like, does he talk about the years of Jubilee? Does it talk about uncleanness or leprosy? No, the first illustration in chapter 21, after going over the law of the Ten Commandments, look in chapter 21, verse. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. So now he says, okay, here's what you're to teach the children of Israel. What's the first thing he teaches them? If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. We just talked about that. It's the year of Jubilee. So he bought him as a hired servant, not as a bond servant. So he's saying, okay, he's free to go. He's a Hebrew. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. All right. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children, listen to this, shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. That's pretty rough. It wasn't easy being a servant back then. It's not easy ever, any time. But under the law, you don't get to keep your wife and children. Sayonara. It's nice knowing you. Now, you know who had this condition? Who was in this situation? Jacob. He said, I'll serve 7 years for Rachel. And he served 7 years. But by the morning time, though, he found out that it was Leah. And he says, all right, I'll serve 14 years. So he had to serve 14 years for his wives. If he left out any time before then, he didn't get them. He didn't get to keep them. There was an agreement. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master and my wife, my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or under the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. There's a piece of wood, and just like it was when the blood was applied on the doorpost, picture of Christ and his blood. The servant is shedding his blood on the doorpost. And that blood would run down that wood. It's a picture of Jesus after the Old Testament, the New Testament. Do you want a wife? Yes, I love the church. I'm willing to be pierced through my ear. I will become a servant for the church. And Jesus Christ, instead of going out free, he said, I'm going to become a servant for the church, and I'm going to put my ear on the door. And he put his hands on the cross, and they bore his hands through. When that quote in Hebrew says, "But a body hast thou provided me." He's in the quote in Psalms, it says, "Mine ear hast thou opened." There's a connection between Jesus dying on the cross to become a servant to redeem his bride, to overcome the Ten Commandments of chapter 20, to overcome the law. The law states, this is what it is, okay? You stay with your old master. But Christ died and he took the blood and shed the blood on the doorpost, just like the Passover lamb. And if a man sell his daughter and then on forward. But anyways, there's a picture. Jesus Christ became a servant and put himself under the yoke with his master continually for us. He loved us that much. He became a servant. There's a lot of verses about Israel being in bondage in Egypt. Look in Exodus 1, chapter 1, verse 14. It's called bondage when they were down in Egypt. When you were in the world, you were in bondage to the lusts. You were in bondage to your flesh, to the devil. You're no longer, Christian, you're no longer in bondage, amen? You're set at liberty. You're no longer a servant of sin. You're not to yield your body's servants to sin any longer. You've been set at liberty. You're free. You're free from the law. You're free from sin. You're free from the devil. But you become the Lord's servant. And Exodus 1:14, it says here, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. That was what the devil did to you. Sin was bitter. Sin has bitter, the dregs of the bitter cup you used to drink. Amen. And in hard bondage, sin is a hard taskmaster. The devil's a hard taskmaster. In mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field, all their service, their servants, wherein they made them serve. There's three words, serve, service, serve. All three words there. Service, service, serve was with rigor. Even the Lord told the Jews, do not make your brother serve with rigor. That's without mercy. But here it was bondage. And you can go look at a lot of verses. They served in bondage. And the Lord redeemed them. Look in Deuteronomy 15:15. few minutes here, we'll take a break. But in Deuteronomy, when you're redeemed, you're out of bondage. Redemption is connected with somebody in bondage. With debt was not paid. And 15:15, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. He redeemed them. He bought them out of it. He purchased them through a mighty hand. And they were servants for 430 years. So there's a connection between a yoke and a bond. Look at Numbers 30, verse 12. We're back in the law now, so let's look back a little more. Numbers chapter 30, and verse 12. And this is dealing with a woman who made a vow. But if her husband hath utterly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatsoever proceedeth out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning the bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband hath made them void. It's talking about unfaithfulness and adultery and so forth. But a woman and a man, when they get married, or even doesn't even say a man, but a woman makes a bond of her soul when she marries that man. That's what we were talking about. It's called the bonds of matrimony. It's called a yoke. When you get married, you become one. They call that little thing when you have a fence, right? A fence can swing there, but when that thing that goes down onto the pole is called a yoke. That's a yoke. And it connects to that pole. It doesn't open anymore. It's yoked. An ox, when you put a yoke on an oxen, there's a thing that goes around their neck, and there's some, you know, screws. There's a pipe that's bent, and that goes around their neck. They're yoked. You're bound together. And so when bondage was, you're a slave, enslaved to it, but you're connected in some way. There's no way you can get out of it. But the Lord redeemed them. Satan binds people. Look in Luke 13. Look at some other bonds. You were bound in sin, and the Lord redeemed you. Luke 13:16. Here's some people in bonds. Just given terms in the Bible, what they mean. We have a bond servant, a bondman, a bondmaid. There's plenty of verses that show a difference between a free servant and a bond servant, hired servant and a bond servant. Satan was your master, and you were a bond servant to sin. Luke 13:16 is a picture of a woman suffering. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Satan binds people in sin. He binds them in pain. He's a taskmaster of rigor. Satan wants to bind this world and control this world. He wants to keep people under enslavement and punishment. And look in another verse on this, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. So there are servants who are under the yoke. And it's even called the yoke of bondage. We'll look at that next. It's called the yoke of bondage. Look in Acts chapter 8. There's a man here who was deceived by Satan. He wanted to buy power over people and use religion like Catholics do. They think they can buy the office. And he asked Peter to give, he offered him money in verse 18 to give him the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter says, I perceive, verse 23, that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Iniquity binds people. It controls people. Satan uses the bond of iniquity. Jesus redeemed us from the bonds of iniquity. Amen? We're no longer servants to sin. That's in Romans, but we'll go to another verse. Look in, what did I say here? Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, you were under the law. You were a slave to sin. You were a servant to sin. You were not free. And so he says here, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. You're a Christian. You're saved. You're free from sin. You're not in the bond of iniquity. Satan can no longer bind you. He's no longer your master. Christ is. Stand there fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You ought to regard that, recognize that, and acknowledge that this morning. Amen? We're no longer slaves. We preach on the streets. I like that. Roman slaves, but Jesus saves. Amen? What does religion do? It enslaves people. It causes people to follow all kinds of traditions of men and stay in that. You can't ever escape it. And religious organizations utilize and people as slaves to control the masses. We're free men, amen? We're in a church of free men and women. You freely, willingly come here. If you don't like the church, you say, I'm leaving. Amen. You have the freedom to do that. No one's going to send you to hell for doing that. Amen. You're not going to be excommunicated. We're not going to put a curse on you and say you've left the Catholic Church. That's the worst sin. It's a mortal sin. We were taught that. It's the worst sin you can commit is leaving the Catholic Church. Anybody here was a Catholic before? Okay, you're going to hell. That's what they say. If you read the canons of Trent, the Council of Trent, and you read their canons, you read the popes, you read the papal encyclicals, you've departed from the church. You're anathema. You've left Mother Church. And there's only one true church. And that you've left it. And so now you're on your way to hell. And so anyways, we're free. Look at verse 1. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty with Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Those things are connected. Yoke of bondage. What is that? Going back under the law. Going back under eat not, taste not, touch not. You can't eat pork. You got to keep the Sabbath holy. You can't. You got to keep the Ten Commandments to get to heaven. You got to work, endure to the end. Christian, you're no longer under that law of bondage. You're no longer under the law. Christ has set you free. We're no longer in Egypt. Amen. We're no longer slaves. And so there's a lot of verses we could look at, but I thought it would be an interesting Bible study today with all this going on in the streets of America. And you know what they're doing in America today? They're just young people who have no knowledge of history, don't believe the Bible, and know what they want to do? They want to get rid of churches, too. Beto O'Rourke, what's he saying? If your church doesn't support marriage between same-sex marriages, we're going to take away your tax, what do you call that? Exemption. Thank you. I'm drawing blanks. Tax exempt status unless you support the queer marriage agenda. Well, why get married? Marriage is a biblical institution. Why do you even believe in marriage? Two men. What do you need to get? You're not going to have offspring. So you don't have any legal grounds for worrying about inheritance or anything. Just do what you want to do. Just don't let us see it. You know, just go, you know, no one's stopping anyone from sinning in America. Marriage is a biblical ordained institution by God. And it's a legal institution too. When a man and a woman have a child, they have inheritance questions now. It's a legal question. You know what they've done now to make it happen? The queers can adopt children. So it's unnatural. So what do? They circumvent the natural laws of science. I try to follow the science, don't you? Amen? I follow the science. Man and woman get together, they have an offspring. Now they have legal grounds if they ever get divorced, who gets a child and who gets an heir. Right. Hey, there's a legal question now involved. What did they do? They circumvented science. Two men can now adopt a little boy and raise him to be the same as them. Child doesn't stand a chance. How'd that happen in America, folks? We need to pray. We need to love our country. There's some things that have gone down in the last 20 years. It's just unimaginable. Horrors are going on in this country today because Christians are giving up the fight. Fight for your family. Fight for your church. Fight for truth. Fight for what the Bible says. And don't be ashamed of what the Bible says. There are certain things going on today that God said 4,000 years ago, this is what's going to happen. This is what I'm going to bless. This is what I'm going to curse. Believe the Bible. You can't change the clock. You can't change what happened in man's history. And so what we can do is just accept it and say, Lord, what can I do? Where am I at in this big picture? Whether you're black or white, bond or free, male or female, rich or poor, we're all in Christ. Amen. We all have a role to play. Let's pray. Father, bless this Bible study. Help us, Lord, to study our Bibles and understand these things. And help us, Lord, to know our role as a worker, to be, Lord, not to serve with eye service as unto men, but as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you bless the following service to come, Lord, and our fellowship this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.